This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM's Malaysia Day special is presented by Masing.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik. Sabah suffers huge inequities in terms of healthcare resources compared to Peninsular Malaysia, and the remote and rural population in Sabah is often underserved in terms of access to healthcare facilities and trained medical professionals. So today we are looking at the state's specific needs, the gaps in healthcare delivery, and the Pakatan Harapan government's pledge to grant more decision-making rights to Sabah, which was part of Pakatan's manifesto before the election. And this actually continues a conversation that we had on our show earlier this year focusing on Sarawak, and you can download the podcast on healthcare in Sarawak if you're interested to listen to that. But for today, we have a very special guest joining us on the line, all the way from Sabah, Datuk Frankie Poon, the Health and People's Wellbeing Minister of the state. Good afternoon, Dr. Frankie. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Zoe. I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. Dr. Frankie, can we start first with a look at what you do in your capacity? You assumed the health and people's well-being portfolio actually relatively recently, just a few months ago after the passing of your predecessor. So can you talk a little bit about the scope of your responsibilities within this portfolio?
Well, basically, my scope, my area, covers basically 9 areas of the government departments. In the state department and agencies, we covers the Sabah Women's Affairs Department.
Mm-hmm.
It covers the Social Welfare Department in Sabah. We also cover the Persatuan Mencegah Dadah Malaysia, which is normally and famously known as PAMADAM in Sabah, and the Sabah Council of Social Welfare. Now, on the federal side, which is also on the ministry, which covers 5 areas: the Sabah Health Department, the Department of National Unity and Integration, the Ministry of Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs, the Institute of Population and Family Development, and the National Anti-Drug Agency. These are the main areas and departments under my ministry, as is called the Ministry JKKR. The department actually implies the wider scope of responsibility to my ministry.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it's our health. Then we have the target group related to women, people with disabilities, children, elderly, family, and students. Then we have another group called consumers, issues on drug abuses, and gender equality. Well, we can say that it can also be translated in the mission of the ministry, that is to coordinate and supervise the services and socio-economic program effectively with great integrity to optimize the health and people's well-being. Now, these are the areas of my ministry.
And that's a lot. That's a very, very wide scope. So if we could, I suppose, narrow it down to your health targets, you know, when you first assumed this post, what did you lay out as, you know, what do you want to achieve?
Well, what do I want to achieve? Really, plenty. When I assumed the health and people's well-being portfolio, I was made to understand that the mission of the ministry is to become the pioneer of the people's well-being by the year 2023. So because of that, my goals now are to strengthen and instill family institutions and value. Secondly, accessibility to the people with disabilities, that is OKU, according to Universal Building by Law. And for this purpose, the Sabah State Rehabilitation Council will be established under the Ministry of Health and People's Wellbeing, which is one of its key performance indicators for the year 2020. And to streamline that year, the role of women in the state government agenda, for example, to attend 20% quota of women's involvement in decision-making process at the local authorities, and also gender equality. And fourthly, it also empowers the target groups such as people with disabilities, elderly, single mother, and the poor to enable them to generate income so as to reduce their dependency on social aid. And fifthly, also to ensure that school uniform and stationery sponsored by government through my ministry can be distributed to at least 60% of the primary schools in a rural area by December this year or before the school reopens by next year to ease the financial burden to the less fortunate families. And sixth, to increase people's awareness of their rights as consumers. Seven, not the least, protection and shelter to victims of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these are what I hope to achieve in years to come.
Okay, so let's look at what we're talking today, which is about healthcare. If we can take a look at Sabah in its entirety, how does the state fare in terms of the main health indicators? And you know, just as an example, I could maybe ask you about how you're doing in terms of maternal mortality, under 5 mortality, and infant mortality.
Okay. Without going actually into the technical details, in fact, under 5 mortality in summer is still high.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, in fact, there were about 893 deaths reported, and this meant 17 deaths amongst children less than 5 years old for every 1,000 live births. A big percentage of these deaths are among infants, that is, children less than 1 year. So too with maternal deaths, where every year Sabah reported between 50 to 60 deaths among pregnant mothers. Majority of these deaths are among non-Malaysians.
Mm-hmm.
We also record increasing number of patients diagnosed with non-communicable diseases, NCD, in Sabah. And I was made to understand that this is a trend, not only in Sabah, but throughout the whole country.
So how does Sabah compare with the rest of Malaysia if we're looking at these indicators?
Well, it is prevalent in that sense because we don't have the figure for West Malaysia and we only have the figure over here. And as far as we are concerned, we think it is high relatively in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as every hospitals in every state and country, you would like the mortality rate to be reduced year to year.
So what would you say are the fundamental issues faced by the communities that are causing these health problems to persist?
Well, like I say earlier on, most of this death reported amongst non-Malaysians. So it could be on healthcare lifestyle, it could be economic issues.
And because Sabah has a significant proportion of its population in rural remote areas, are you capturing the state of those communities as well?
Yes. We are actually having data, everything else, for Sabah. Yes, okay. We are.
So can you describe what is the system for the delivery of healthcare services in Sabah? So we're looking at urban centre areas as well as, like I said, in the rural remote areas and how that healthcare infrastructure, how the services are delivered.
Well, as in other parts of Malaysia, healthcare delivery system in Sabah is also a two-tier system, where at the lowest level of care is at the clinic Dansa, and the next level is at clinic Kasihatan. In addition, over the past several years, government has set up community clinics in urban and suburban areas. Together with the private clinic, these make up the primary health care level. Then there are also hospitals which serve as secondary care. In Sabah, the unique challenges to assessing healthcare are geographical factors and socio-economic factors such as financial limitation, illiteracy, and poverty.
Okay. Mm. And we will go a little bit more into that and explore how the state government is trying to address these challenges and improve on the delivery of healthcare to the people and the very diverse communities of Sabah. Dato' Frankie Poon, the Health and People's Wellbeing Minister of Sabah, is on the line with us today as we explore the state of healthcare in Sabah. We'll go for a quick break. Stay tuned to us on BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to this BFM Malaysia Day special presented by Musing. This BFM Malaysia Day special is presented by Musing.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the show. I'm T. Shao Ik. I'm exploring the state of healthcare in Sabah today with Dato' Frankie Poon, Health and People's Wellbeing Minister from Sabah, who is joining us on the line. And Dato' Frankie has already described a very vast area of responsibilities that he covers in his portfolio, and health and well-being of people being sort of the main driver. Dato' Frankie, you talked about the main challenges that the people in the various communities in Sabah face when it comes to healthcare relate to geographical and socioeconomic factors. Why would you say that these are still a problem today in 2019 when a lot of advancements have been made in the country's socioeconomic development? Why does this still present a challenge in Sabah?
Okay, I think first and foremost, we have to understand that Sabah is the second largest state in terms of its geographical areas and positions, after Sarawak, as a state. So you can imagine the vast land areas that the healthcare system has to cover. And plus the fact that Sabah is also, I think, if I'm not a second, it is the third largest state in terms of population in Malaysia. After KL, then Johor, now Sabah. So you can imagine the vast land areas and the vast population, all sparsely living in different parts of Sabah. So it is not so easy in terms of cost-wise, and not so easy in terms of development-wise to cover and through for everybody in Sabah. The infrastructure itself also have a lot to deal with and concerned with this area of our services.
So if the infrastructure has to deal with, a vast geographical distribution and communities being spread out over wide areas, what are some unique or innovative methods of delivery or programs that Sabah has to increase access for remote communities?
Well, I think the healthcare ministry was actually under Sabah way back in early on until 1970. So the state have assumed and started this ministry last year, so only 40 years after. So all along, this particular ministry was under the federal side and still is, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of the yearly, I have to explain a bit of this. The operating and development budget for healthcare is channeled to the state health department and not to the state government.
Mm.
Our ministry is a new ministry, as explained earlier, set up by the new government, in hope that in the future, the federal government will channel the development funds to the state government so that we can have our own funds to develop the healthcare system and services in line with the state's overall development plan. And as you know, people nearer to where the patients are will tend to know what are the issues and problems, and they can address the problems and issue easier and faster.
What are the limitations currently with this mechanism of disbursement of funds, that it goes through the state health department rather than the state government?
Well, limitation is saying that as a minister, I cannot make decisions in a sense as to, okay, certain things are of priority in that sense. Everything will have to go through the federal ministry to approve or not to approve, and which is submitted to by the state health department to them in that sense. So I, as a minister here in charge, will find my jurisdiction limited by the limitation of financial ability in that sense.
How much does the state health department currently get from the federal ministry for its budget, annual budget?
Well, like I say, it is not sufficient, but we are basically getting about 2 billion over in terms of the operating expenses, the Sabah State Health Department.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of the development fund, we are actually only getting about 24 million a year.
Okay. And if you are looking at increasing these allocations, what, you know, how much would you want to increase it to?
Well, yeah. If you ask me, I would say at least another 50% of what they have given us, if not 100%. Because you can understand that if you make a comparison and you make a visit over here in Sabah, you realize the difficulties that we face in terms of the experiences required to reach out to our people right in the interiors and also make protocol provisions of development expenditures, like basic things, in waiting rooms, you know. In this day and age, if you wait in the area, you expect some comfort. And to me, as a minister, I'm very concerned with healthcare in the sense that if, I think 50% of the sickness to in anyone will be gone if it goes into a comfortable environment. If I'm sick and I go to an environment which is very stressful, I don't think it will be helpful in terms of my illness in that sense. So a lot of things are required. For example, we don't have a single PET scan in Sabah here at the moment. And we have already applied, and hopefully it will be given to us in a short period of time.
And, you know, this is a conversation that your predecessor, the late Stephen Wong, had began with the health minister, Dato Sri Dr. Zul, about increasing the federal budget to be channeled towards health infrastructure development in Sabah. And in fact, what you're talking about now is changing, you know, reforming it so that it you have your own funds under the state government. Does this come hand in hand together with decentralizing healthcare and allowing you as a state government to have more autonomous decision-making rights on healthcare?
Certainly, yes. Like I explained early on, our geographical position is so far away and it's so big, almost second largest in the whole, as a state, second largest among all the states of the Sarawak.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of population, it is so big. So it is not easy for the ministry, the federal ministry, to actually oversee what is happening over here. And as now we have a minister over here, it is easier for us to focus and to see to the problems of the people in Sabah itself. So, of course, the delegation and all the decentralization of this particular issue, the healthcare to Sabah, I think it of benefits to the federal government as well, also to the state government in terms of the services to the people, health and well-being. Of course, decentralization will also have to come with as well the financial aspect as well. It don't show to us a baby as big as that, and then it do not also take into account of the annual budget allocation to Sabah in healthcare.
What would you say is the progress that is being made towards this endpoint of decentralizing the decision making? Where are we now?
I would not like to make any comment on that. As you know, MS63 discussion has been going on, and I believe our prime ministers may make some announcement. relation to whatever has been agreed so far in the steering committee, technical committee, in the implementation committee.
Okay.
So, yeah, these are the areas I think you announced. I don't want to preempt anything. I just hope that goodness will come to it, and then more decentralization and will come to us, and then as well as the allocation of funds.
So
that the interests of the people here, the well-being, will be taken care of without having to, you know, wait unnecessary delay.
And so let's go down into some finer details. I mean, you talked about healthcare facilities and the need to improve them for the population. So among it, the Pakatan government's promises in its manifesto was to build more healthcare centres in Sabah and Sarawak, as well as upgrade existing ones. So what would you say are the most urgent needs? If you could provide some specifics.
Well, the lack of basic infrastructure actually has continued. But it's also continued to be addressed by our government every year as the population continues to grow and the demands for these basic necessities has also increased. In addition, these basics are also needed with the opening of industries, factories and new townships. So in that sense, with all these increases, I think it can and it will help in also improving our health.
Okay. If I could point your attention to specific state hospitals in Sabah that have been highlighted in the news for their condition. Last year, a government doctor wrote a letter to the Malay Mail about the shoddy maintenance in Hospital Lahad Datu, for instance, Hospital Sandakan's operating theatre, leaks in Queen Elizabeth Hospital. Is there some sort of state government audit that can tell us about the state of public hospitals across Sabah? And what are the measures that you are planning to improve these problems?
Well, okay, in Sabah, health services are also provided, as you know, through mobile clinics. We have these teams of health personnel traveling to rural and remote areas and also to set up clinics. They also provide medical and dental clinics on a monthly basis, like I said, monthly basis. And they travel by land, river, sea, and air. And Sabah also has a medical evacuation service as well, where we transfer patients from one health facility to another or from villages to the nearest health facility. Yes, I would also say that there is a lot of improvement that needs to be done for the health facilities in Sabah in terms of maintenance and upgrading. And there's also a need to expedite the building of new clinics which have been approved. But in terms of the latest state government audit, well, actually, in terms of performances, we are doing well. In fact, almost all the hospitals in Sabah have accreditation by the Malaysian Society for Quality and Health, which means that our hospitals are of recognized quality in terms of its services and performances.
Let's look in terms of human resources in the health system. What are the current needs with regard to the number and the distribution of healthcare personnel, including doctors, nurses, and specialists?
Well, again, I say, without going into the details, Sabah is really a big state. It needs a lot of more doctors, nurses, dentists, and even specialists. Like, for example, I was in Kota Bulut yesterday. There were not a single specialist there. Anything that is a specialist and requires urgency will be sent down to Kota Kinabalu here. Because here we have quite a few government general hospitals and a few also private medical hospitals. We need to address these perennial issues as you need, actually. And we need to establish specialized care in major hospitals in both west and east coast of Sabah. We also want to set up subspecialist care in Sabah so that our patients do not have to travel to another state for treatment. So, well, I'm also actually told that there are already doctors serving in the health clinics for Osaba, and that we need to upgrade the services and facilities to support these doctors, such as making available laboratory and X-ray services. Of course, we need to look after their welfare by making sure that living quarters are available for them and that they are given the opportunity to continue with their medical education for specialist training.
Mm-hmm. And let's take the need for specialists for an example. What do you think can be done to immediately address this gap? Whether it's in terms of retaining specialists, bringing them over from Peninsula, or putting in place training, what do you want to focus on?
I believe there are two prong system. One is the short term, one is the long term.
Mm-hmm.
Because training a specialist is not easy. As now, if I'm not mistaken, we only have 10% of all the specialists in Sabah are actually Sabahan.
Mm-hmm.
The rest are from West Malaysia. And we all have about 309 to 310 specialists in all over Sabah here.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I would encourage and prefer importation of specialists from West Malaysia. And this is the fastest and quickest approach to attend to the needs of Sabah as far as specialists are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And on the long-term basis, what we should offer will be, and which in fact the government of the day has actually really decided to offer our local MO who wants to go into specialist, they will be encouraged and also even given grant to support their pursuit of specialist studies.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier that a lot of the fundamental health issues, such as the mortality rate among young children, is among non-Malaysians. So that's something that I would like to address when we come back from the next break. One of Sabah's really unique challenges is the large population of migrant and stateless people. So we will look at that when we come back. We are talking to Dato' Frankie Poon, Health and People's Wellbeing Minister, from Sabah. We are discussing the state of healthcare in Sabah. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to this BFM Malaysia Day special presented by Masing. This BFM Malaysia Day special is presented by Masing.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Health and Living. I'm T. Xiao Ik. On the line with me today is Dato' Frankie Poon, Health and People's Wellbeing Minister from Sabah, who is giving us some insights into the unique health system and the challenges of the population in Sabah when it relates to healthcare needs. And something very unique about Sabah, and due to its geographical location and its borders, is its large population of a migrant and non-Malaysian population. Perhaps, Dato' Frankie, you can actually paint a very brief picture for us to understand exactly how these communities make up the population of Sabah.
Okay, if I'm not mistaken, the population of Sabah is at 3.9 million, if I'm not mistaken. And out of that number, a great percentage, if I'm not mistaken, again, it should be about 1.2 million are non-Malaysian. Now, as far as Malaysia is concerned, you can recognize and see that a big chunk of this are non-Malaysian. And Malaysia is committed to achieving the universal health coverage as part of the Sustainable Development Goals.
Mm-hmm.
What this means is that all individuals and communities receive the health care that they needed. Certain groups in the population, such as the stateless people, marginalized groups, and rural communities, have issues with access to health care. And some of the reasons for this are due to financial difficulties, illiteracy, logistics, and health-seeking behavior. The government have addressed many of these issues by ensuring that medical costs are affordable and that health facilities are spread out throughout the country. In Sabah, the state health department also set up mobile health clinics to ensure access to hard-to-reach populations. Now, if I am again not mistaken, for anyone, you know, for any locals to be attended to in a local hospital, all we have to do is just register yourself and pay ₱1.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not a local, all you have to do is just to pay ₱40. And probably this is the reason why, this is one of the few reasons why the other stateless people are finding it difficult to seek medical help.
I mean, you know, bearing in mind that is the system that's available and those are the challenges, what do you think you want to focus on to address, especially if the state government is committed to universal health coverage?
Well, like I say, we are really tied up in terms of the financial need for our state. You know, like, for example, in the development fund that we require accumulated over the years, and for Sabah alone, just for hospital, we require about $201 million to replace some of the equipment, upgrade some of the things, repair some of the things. And then for clinics itself, we require about close to $80 million.
Mm-hmm.
So as I mentioned earlier, we are only managed to get $24 to $25 million for last year. This is nearly only less than 10% of our need for Sabah. So for us to actually cover more areas in order to secure and to be in line with the SDG, it is something that is our goal, but it's something that can only be achieved if we have the necessary resources. And these resources are basically under the care of the federal ministry, the federal government. And that's why we're bringing up all this to address, so that they will not take lightly of this matter.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I've been working also closely with the Ministry of Finance and the KSU Hospital, and they have been listening to me, and they are trying to oversee and assist in every way we can. As you know, I've only been in ministry for a couple of months, so we'll take time to build the relationship and also make known the issues that are actually perennial in Sabah. And before this, as you know as well, before 2018, there were no Ministry of Health in Sabah other than way back in 1970. So all this take a bit of adjustment, all this take a bit of understanding, and all this take a bit of working together to achieve the desired goal, to ensure that not only Sabah, but everyone here in the state, the health will be taken care of, come what may.
Mm. And speaking of resources, with Budget 2020 due to be tabled in October, what would you hope to see for Sabah?
Well, certainly we want to see an increase in the allocation of the funds to the Ministry for Health.
Mm-hmm.
And also, of course, and hopefully they will channel the funds directly to the state government rather to their state health departments.
Mm.
Of course, like I said, there will be a much increase in the allocation.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Frankie, I just want to touch a little bit on medical tourism, because earlier this year it was reported that Sabah will be looking into promoting the state as a destination for healthcare tourism. So how do you foresee balancing this with the fact that, you know, as you've described as well, a lot of basic healthcare needs still needs to be met for on the population of Sabah?
Oh, yes. Sometimes difficult to reconcile, isn't it?
Yes.
Medical tourism actually is defined as people traveling abroad for medical reasons. The state of Sabah is actually already well-known as a tourism hub.
Mm-hmm.
What tourists need to know is that private hospitals and clinics in Sabah have state-of-the-art medical equipment and quality services delivered by qualified specialists and medical personnel. In the context of Malaysia, the main players for medical tourism are the private sectors, Therefore, there's no issue in trying to balance medical tourism and basic healthcare, as these are provided by different group of people.
Mm-hmm.
The government health sectors cater mainly for the local population, while medical tourists largely by the private sectors. These days, people are more conscious of their health and look for ways to maintain good health. For that purpose, the state of Sabah has much to offer in its natural resource, beaches, hills, and mountains for people to rejuvenate, rehabilitate, and relax. In fact, revenue for medical tourism will not only sustain the healthcare industry in the country, but has spillover effects on the other on other industries such as hotels, food, transport, and this will in turn elevate the social economic standing of the local population.
Do you see any direct relationship between the revenue that will be gained from healthcare tourism and being channeled to developing the public healthcare infrastructure?
Of course. Like I have explained just now, the spin-off from there is not only in terms of the financial gain to the private hospitals. The spin-off will be also to other industries in the country. And the tax, and these people pay tax, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the coffers of the Ministry of Finance will increase to the influx of these tourists coming in for medical reasons. Or for any other reason. I think in comparatively, if you compare other neighboring countries, we are one of the cheapest.
Mm.
In fact, isn't it? It was this year that we were mentioned that we are one of the best healthcare system as well also as a healthcare in the world. Right?
Yep. So just to sum up, Dr. Frankie, we are looking at the Pakatan Harapan's their 5-year tenure. So we are 1.5 years in, about. What would be your priorities for improving healthcare in your state in the next, 4 years or so?
Well, firstly, I like to address issues of overcrowding, uncomfortable hot environment, long waiting time at our health facility.
Mm-hmm.
A lot needs to be done in those areas. Secondly, I would also like to see the upgrading of clinics within and outside of the hospitals, such as Clinic Desa and Clinic Kasihatan.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, finally, I'd like to see and hope specialist clinics in all our major hospitals throughout Sabah. These are the few things I'd like to see in the near future, and hopefully before the end of my term as a minister and before the next election.
Mm. Do you have a final message for us today, Dr. Frankie?
Well, I'd like to thank BFM for highlighting and the matters here and giving me the chance to speak on issues of health in Sabah.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that people will be a little bit patient, especially in Sabah, with our current healthcare system at the moment. And I will do my best to ensure their well-being at the NCL and be critical patients and for any shortcomings at the moment. And so Sabah is ready to be a new place, you know, even for West Malaysians. So I know for a fact that many are reluctant to come over here, even though this is one of the best places in Malaysia to stay.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully everything will be fine, and I hope that the federal government will take note of what we have said in this morning, and by October and November, the financial allocation for Sabah in healthcare will be double. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dato' Frankie. That was Dato' Frankie Poon, Health and People's Wellbeing Minister from Sabah, joining us on the line to talk about the state of healthcare in Sabah. You've been listening to Health and Living on a Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
BFM's Malaysia Day Special is presented by Mussing. Reinvent spaces, enhance life.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.